We're going to be looking in Deuteronomy chapter 32 this morning, as well as Matthew chapter 23, if you want to turn there. If not, you can not necessarily going to be reading a text as such. Let me begin with this story. After 2 years of marriage, a husband came home from work, and he walked through the front door. The wife greeted him at the front door with a hug and a kiss, and she said, "Honey, I have some big news." He said, "Oh, what's that?" She said, "Well, in a little while, there will no longer just be the two of us. There will be an addition to our family." He said, "Are you serious? You have made me the happiest man in all the world." She said, "I'm so glad to hear that, because next week, my mother's moving in with us." In case you didn't get it, it's not what he was expecting. Earl Davis said that Mother's Day is the day when women who aren't mothers but wish they were, they feel the burden of it a bit more. It's the day when guilty husbands serve breakfast in bed and make a bigger mess than it's worth. It's the day when mothers reflect again on the whole business and decide it's worth it after all. But as I've already mentioned, Mother's Day is not everyone's favorite day of the year. Maybe someone's whose mother has passed away. More so if the mother passed away way too early. For some, it would be because they have bad memories of mom. For some, it would be those that have longed to be a mother and are not able to, or their children have died, or a child has died, or perhaps even miscarried. Then for others, this day brings sadness to them because their children don't contact her. Her children don't make any contact with her on this Mother's Day. You know, it's a sad day for some. But I suppose that for all of us, Mother's Day is a joyous occasion. It's a day of at least reflecting, thankful for what heritage we have, what heritage we hold, for the mother that God blessed our lives with. Earl Davis gives us two real positive qualities about womanhood. The first one would be one that I've mentioned about my mother, and that would be the area of security. It was such a wonderful thing when I heard mother outside the bedroom, outside, just outside our wall, playing that piano, her way, softly, and I guess I would even say sweetly, angelic. There was security in that. You know, when a little child runs in from school, and as soon as he runs in or she runs into the house and hollers for mom, what is that? It's a child wanting to know if mom's there, because if mom's there, all's well. Things are good. Security is one of those positive qualities of motherhood. There's another one, and that would be the quality of motherhood would be that of healing. How many mothers are there that have never kissed a sore, you know, hugged away a tear? Earl Davis said that he remembers his favorite image of his wife. He said the favorite image of his wife is through the years when the children would come running to her with a skinned up knee or some tear in the eye, and she would kiss it away and say, "It's all right, it'll be all better before you get married." A lot of comfort and healing there. For some of you, time's running out. Actually, there's passages in Scripture where God is compared to motherhood. We normally think of God as the strong, stalwart, fierce. And yet we find that Scripture is comparing God to motherhood, the softer side of life. You can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Here we see that Moses is giving a speech, or maybe you could say it's one of his farewell speeches to the children of Israel, and he's reminding them that God has a special place in his heart for them. It's found in verse number 9. He's also going on to speak to them about how God had led them and how God had taught them. God was their instructor. But then he shifts gears in verse number 11. He shifts it a little bit, and perhaps in his mind's eye, he has gone back to the days when he was in Midian. Maybe it's more recent than that, but perhaps he was out tending his father-in-law's sheep, or taking care of the farmland, as it were, in that day. And he looks up and he sees an eagle. He's watching an eagle take care of one of the young that's in the nest. And he's comparing it to God. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth broad her wings and taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Is he picturing in his mind how that mother eagle is trying to get the eaglet to get out of the nest and to begin to spread its wings and fly on its own, to take that next step in life? The eaglet is not being very cooperative, and so the eagle has to go and push the entire nest, stirreth up the nest, and push it over the precipice, forcing that eagle, that little eaglet, to begin to spread its wings. Only as it's spreading its wings, it's circling in a downward spiral. Not really flying, but not plummeting either. And when strength wears out, he sees that mother eagle swoop down just beneath where that eaglet is grasping and trying to find its own, and allows it to light on her back. Takes it back up to where it can rest or be restored in strength, only to go through the process all over again until finally the wings begin to work as they should. The mother who does all that she can in discipline. That's what we see here, discipline. We see instruction or teaching. We see the mother that is preparing that little one for the world around, for the world outside the nest. Some people would call it tough love. And I suppose that it probably is. It's tough love on mom as well as on the eaglet. Making that preparation that is necessary. But the picture is that God is like that to us. Jesus takes it another step as well, as we see that Jesus speaks about God, or speaks about himself being God, and he compares it to motherhood. You say, well, that's kind of strange. Well, that's found in Matthew 23. Not only do we have this eagle, this picture image of God likened to a mother eagle in Deuteronomy, but we see that God is likened in Matthew 23 to another mother. As Jesus is speaking to the surrounding peoples, and there may have been Sadducees and Pharisees, all these people that had ridiculed him and tried to take him by force or tried to kill him, and they were making progress in that regards. And Jesus was looking out over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you, or your children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks underneath her." How many of you that lived out here have never seen a mother hen? Perhaps there's some. But watching that mother hen keep track of her little chicks. The little ones that she had brought into this world as she had sat on that nest for so long, they were dear to her. They were precious to her. A lot of times a mother hen will give its life if necessary. I was sitting in a shooter house in Pike County some years back watching some turkeys, and one of the turkeys had a whole brood of little turkeys, little chicks around her. They were having a good time feeding through the field, and I was having a good time watching them. There were three hens and one of them, only one of them it appeared to have the chicks. And all of a sudden, the mother and the other two hens began to cluck loudly and to take off across the field in the other direction from where I was. And I thought, well, I surely didn't disturb them. And then I noticed a coyote coming from the west, or from the east, making its way across that field. And as that coyote came into that circle and that brood of chicks, one of them jumped into the air trying to fly away, trying to get where its mother was, and that coyote grabbed it instantly out of the air just as my bullet found its mark in its neck. But it was too late for the chick. But after watching for 15 or 20 minutes as that mother hen came back and began to circle around that coyote, trying to coax its chick out of the coyote's mouth, kind of reinforces a little bit the mother instinct of these animals. And Jesus is likening his compassion and his heart to the heart of a hen. And the realities that are there, the comparisons that are there, the things that a mother will do. Mother's love. That's the comparison that we see of God and motherhood. Let me tell you another story. It's a story of one day four ministers were standing around talking, and as so often is the case, the conversation soon drifted to shop talk, you know, Bible stuff. One of them said, "I prefer the King James version of the scripture because of its eloquence in use of the English language." Another one said that no Bible could match the New American Standard because of its faithfulness to the original text. The third one said, "That may well be, but I prefer the New International Version for its contemporary language and easy readability." The writer said there was thoughtful period of silence, and then the fourth minister said, "I like my mother's translation the best." And it came as a surprise to the others, and they said, "We didn't know that your mother had translated the Bible." He replied that yes, she did. She translated into her daily life. "It was through her translation," he said, "that I came to faith." I think Edward summed that up this morning. "It was through her translation that I came to faith," he said. I think in that sense, it would be fitting for us to look at Scripture as well and to realize or to see, refresh in our memory, what Paul had to say about Timothy, his spiritual son's mother and grandmother. Let me paraphrase it quickly this morning. In essence, Paul was saying, "Timothy, I know your grandmother and her faith is authentic." 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're trying to locate that. He said, "It is the same faith that I have observed in your mother, and after having watched you all this time, I am convinced of your faith also." The authentic nature of his grandmother's faith being carried over to being an authentic faith in his mother, being carried over to being an authentic faith within himself. Now, I'm told that the literal translation of what is given in the King James version there of that particular thought and the word that Paul's using is a faith that is without hypocrisy. Authentic, without hypocrisy. Lois and Eunice showed Timothy by word and by example what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to live an authentic faith, a faith that is absent from hypocrisy. It's the real thing. It's genuine. It's sincere. Mothers, what is it today that draws your highest praise? What is it today that brings about the highest compliment from the children? No, it's not something that you need to go, I don't suppose, and say, oh, please, would you stand up in church on Sunday morning, Mother's Day, and tell everybody that you received an authentic faith from me. But I don't believe there could be any higher tribute, any higher praise given to any mother or grandmother than for someone to say that you gave me an authentic faith. Someone said that men like to think that they run the world. But he said that they don't. Mothers do. Mothers are the molders and the makers of each day. We remember the ways that mother helped us prepare for the new day. Counseling, advising, shaping our attitudes. Sometimes each morning. One wife and mother said that the wife and mother usually hoist the sails of the family ship every day. We determine whether those sails shall catch the breezes of God's love and understanding or the winds of bickering and discord. Wow, Mom, you have a responsibility. That's big. Catching the breezes or in those sails, the breezes of God's love and understanding or the winds of bickering and discord. It was that same woman that said, when a man succeeds, he does so by climbing a ladder steadied by a woman who believes in him. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, especially to those mothers and grandmothers of authentic faith. Let me give you this. Little poem or reading that my wife handed to me last night. A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, anxious to relate what his younger brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on a call, TJ took his crayons and wrote on the wall. It's on the new paper you just hung in the den. I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again. She let out a moan and furrowed her brow. Where is your little brother right now? She emptied her arms and with a purposeful stride, she marched to his closet where he had gone to hide. She called his full name as she entered his room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes, she ranted and raved about the expensive wallpaper and how she had saved. Lamenting all the work it would take to repair, she condemned his actions and total lack of care. The more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room, totally distraught. She headed for the den to confirm her fears. When she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, I love Mommy, surrounded by a heart. Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it. A reminder to her and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall. Let's stand together this morning. Take time to read the handwriting on the wall. That doesn't mean, kids, go home and get some crayons. Do it on a piece of paper and give it to them. Hopefully the kids heard that. Trust that Mother's Day is a special day for all of you. Mothers, grandmothers, and all. The Lord bless you on this day. Praise God. We've heard from moms. We've heard about moms. It's a special day. We think about the mothers of Israel, as it were, the seniors among us. And we're missing some of our senior moms today. Not able to be here or in other places of choice. But when we miss those, we miss some special moms. The ones that have prayed, the ones that have been steadfast, solid, that have been the rock in the midst of our years. We thank God for all of them. One mother that we haven't heard from this morning, and she probably doesn't want me to call on her to dismiss in prayer, but if she would, I'd like for Sister Clark to dismiss us this morning.